Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Listen to the words of the Apostle St. John, his first epistle in chapter 3. For he teaches us, "Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called the children of God. Therefore the world does not know us, because it did not know him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure." There are three truths for us to embrace from this apostle's words this morning for our lives. The first one is this: what we have been delivered from and brought into through Jesus Christ, our Savior, is quite the miraculous wonder of his love. St. Paul uses the language this way. He says, "For you once were, but now you are." You once were something, and now you're something completely different. He says this in Ephesians 2. Let me summarize St. Paul's words of that chapter. "For you were once dead in your trespasses and sin nature, enslaved to Satan and living according to his deadly disorder. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love for us, even when we were dead, even when we were living in the worst condition, made us alive together with Christ." And St. John is telling us, and this is the reality he's expressing, we were all, you and I, we were slaves to a father of lies. But listen to the Apostle St. John. "What manner of love is this that God the Father has done for us, we who were enslaved to the father of lies, enslaved to a destructive master? But now you are not slaves. You've been freed from your slavery and your new identity, and it could not be more opposite than slavery. So much higher, so much greater. From a slave, you've been made a child." From a slave, you've been made a child of God, a loving and merciful God, your heavenly Father. That's who you are. The ring of family identity has been placed upon our finger. And the second thing St. John teaches us is, okay, if we're no longer enslaved to a father of lies, we're a child of a heavenly Father. He teaches us how to live as one. How do we live in this blessed childhood to a good and gracious Father? The first is this. He teaches us the first thing you do is spend time with Daddy. Why is that so complex? Why is the Christian journey, even with all the depth of revelations that we have in Christ's Holy Church for 2,000 years, inspired by the Holy Spirit, you know what it's all directing us to, every bit of it? No matter how deep the revelation, be a child to your Father. And the way to do that is to spend time with your Father. And the result of spending time with your Father is that you will grow up to look and live like your Father. Here's where he says it. Listen to St. John's words. "Beloved, we are now children of God. It's not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." And I tell you that those words you just heard are truths that exist in what we call both the now and the not yet. Both the now and the not yet. On the one hand, if we're truly living as a child to a Father, children of God, that means spending our time with our Father like a child would spend with his daddy or her daddy. We are becoming more like the one with whom we are investing time. And the result of that time spent with him is that we will bear the fruit in our lives of the likeness of the one we're spending time with. You know this. The ones you hang around the most, for good or bad, you take on something of their personhood and characteristics. It's the truth. But at the same time, while we're here spending time with our Father and being changed into his image and likeness, the finality of that transformation awaits us on the other side of the veil, when we shall behold Christ fully. And so we live, you see, in the now, but there's also that not yet. But in both the now and the not yet, what is the key that St. John is presenting for all of us that's the key to the healing and redemption and transformation of our soul? These words. We know that when he's revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. The key then is we must behold him. Which means we've got to give him an opportunity to share himself with us. That's the key. We must use everything that Christ, through his holy church, has given us to move us towards him, has given us to prepare and open up the soul to receive from our Father, to see him and behold him by that process, so that we let him share himself with us and behold him to the best of our abilities. At the risk of overusing a scripture that I use all the time here, and I will never stop, so get used to overuse. St. Paul says this perfectly. The healing of the soul, it's all right here in one verse. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror God, the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into what we're beholding. The same image, from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord, seeing Christ our God, beholding him, knowing, growing to know Christ our God, is the absolute aim of the soul that wants to be redeemed. So we have to ask ourselves that question when we see these things. We are called, when we behold such truths from our Lord, to inspect. What is the best? Where are we? Are we living a life daily, giving God those precious moments of opportunity to make himself known to us? Do we take time in all of the various ways that the church has given us, from the liturgies to the prayer services to the liturgical prayers, and equally amongst all of those, just time to sit before him or take a walk with him, just taking time to be with him, giving him an opportunity to share something of himself with us. Just time to be with him. Is that the priority of our lives, from which all other things in our lives are governed and have their most clear perspectives and order given to them? It'll only come there. Or do we continue the life, quite frankly, and we do both in most of our cases. Do we continue in our lives to hide from God like Adam and Eve, afraid of what we just may experience? If God shows himself to me, what will happen? Or even the fear, if God reveals himself to me, dare I even think it? My goodness gracious, I may change and evolve. It's a dangerous thought to us because of all the lies that Satan has planted into our hearts. The great lie is be afraid to go before God. When God says, come at your lowest points and let me heal. How opposite language. A creator and life giver and one who bestows death and chaos. Which path are we following? This brings us to the third truth, the second way that St. John the Apostle shares with us how to live as a child of our Father. He writes, and everyone who has this hope, what's the hope? Time with the Father that transforms the life. That's the hope, our salvation. And everyone who has this hope in God purifies himself, just as He, our Father, is pure and holy. The most natural result of an authentic encounter with Christ our God is that we will see more of who He really is, which means in the same moment, in the same time, we will see within ourselves the ways that we are not like the one we're beholding. It's inevitable. It's inevitable. Therefore, when we behold Him, He lovingly and mercifully brings us to the repentance through which Christ heals and relieves and grants rest to the soul. St. Bede put it this way with St. John's words. St. Bede taught, "There are many who say they have faith in Christ, but somehow seem to forget about this pure aspect of it. It's clear that anyone who has real faith will demonstrate the fact by living a life of good works, by rejecting ungodliness and worldly desires, and by imitating Christ's sober, righteous, and godly life. We are commanded to imitate the purity of God's holiness to the extent that we're capable of doing so. Just as we are taught to hope for the glory of the divine likeness according to our capacity for receiving it." The life of good works, the life of imitating the purity of Christ, which means when we imitate Christ, we imitate both what He did and didn't do. I don't think we consider that often enough, the didn't part. How He overcame the things that are so damaging to the soul within Himself. You see? But that life of imitating the purity of Christ, it is not, and I always have to say this, again, because all of us to varying degrees have believed so many lies. That life of imitating the purity of Christ is not a life of working to earn the love and to earn the salvation that the Lord would give. That is a horrific lie. The thought that we could earn a blessed thing, any good thing, our life of living from the grace that we've been given toward a life of good works, toward imitating the purity of Christ, it has its origin in experiencing the love of God and His goodness and His mercy toward us. We don't do good works and imitate Him to earn anything. We do all of these things as a response to the vast love that we have both encountered and received into our lives. Repentance, therefore, start thinking of it as this. Repentance is a response of love to love. We walk in unearned divine grace to purify ourselves as a response to His love. And there's no greater response to the love of God than to offer ourselves to God so that He can transform us into who we were always created to be, which is like Daddy. So today, we go from here, I pray, knowing your real identity. You are not a slave to a brutal oppressor. You are not a slave to your past. You are not a slave to things that you have done, and you are not a slave to things done to you. You're not a slave at all. You're a child of a loving Father who brings you out of all of that. He took you from that to this. Secondly, as that child, please go be with Him. Make time in your life for real fellowship, to be with God that He might reveal Himself to you through Christ by the Holy Spirit. And from that experience, respond to His love with love. When you see the ways you're not like Him as you behold Him, you do realize He brings those things up because He wants you to offer them to Him so He can take them from you. Why? Because this loving Father longs to take from you the things that have been killing you in life all along. That's life with the Daddy in which we become like Him. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.